May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For the people of God in Jerusalem, that night was that time of year, a time of anticipation and preparation. Jesus and his friends are among the crowds gathered in the city for the approaching Passover festival, in which Israel's people remember and celebrate their freedom from Egyptian bondage. The rituals of Passover are rich with symbolism and meaning. They were commanded by God, by the God of creation and liberation, in order to remind God's people of who and whose they were. This isn't ordinary remembering. This is memory as identity. It is memory as a radical act, a setting apart of the community in opposition to the powers and the principalities of the world. And as the city prepares for Passover, Jesus and his friends feel this opposition to principalities and powers more deeply than most. A confrontation is coming between Jesus and the power of the Roman Empire and its collaborators in the temple hierarchy. And Jesus knows that he will probably not leave Jerusalem alive. But this is the cost. This is the cost of proclaiming a kingdom far greater than any earthly power. It is the cost of being part of the dream of God. And so the friends gather, almost surreptitiously, alert as they prepare, alert for watching eyes, but unaware that betrayal lurks among them. What happens next during the meal together is only described in John's gospel. Imagine the disciples' consternation as Jesus abruptly gets up, strips to his sleeveless tunic, ties a towel around his waist, and begins to wash everyone's feet. Imagine the stunned silence, broken only by the gentle splash of water, the rustle of the towel against calloused feet. Until Jesus gets to Peter, who, being Peter, cannot keep quiet. And to his objections, Jesus replies, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." And Peter ultimately relents, as only Peter can, with the zeal of a convert. "Not my feet only, but my hands and my feet as well, and my head as well." The bowl and the towel are finally put away, and Jesus puts his cloak back on. "If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Do this. Serve one another, even if it's uncomfortable." This is the meaning of Maundy Thursday, from the Latin mandatum, a commandment: do this. In John's gospel, the three chapters following this account comprise what is called Jesus' farewell discourse. Three chapters which boil down to do this, serve one another, love one another. These are the words, simple verbs that change memory into more than memory. They transform memory into identity. Do this, serve one another, love one another. There is more to this story, but it is taken up in Mark and Matthew and Luke. Jesus taking bread, grown from wheat of the earth, made by human hands. He blesses, breaks, and shares it. This is my body. He takes wine, grown from grapes, sweetened by their own thirst, crushed, aged in darkness. And he blesses and shares it. This is my blood. Do this. Remember me. And here bread and wine become sacrament, a sign of Christ with us, not as a distant memory, but as active, enlivening presence. When we eat this bread, we say yes to the holy in all of God's creation. When we drink from this cup, we witness to the suffering of the world. We are what we eat. But Eucharist means nothing if we remain at the table. We must go out. We cannot just acknowledge the holy in all creation or just acknowledge the suffering of the world. We must actively witness to both. We must serve. We must wash feet. And this is why John's account of the foot washing is so important. Scholars wonder why John focused on this instead of the first Eucharist, as the other three gospel writers did. Some argue that this episode of the foot washing distracts from the Eucharist as the main event of Maundy Thursday. But that is only the case if we read the Gospels in isolation from one another. While it is often helpful and important to look at the Gospels individually in terms of their audience and their context, the fact remains that the writers were probably perfectly aware of the stories that were being told and written at that time, especially the writers of John's Gospel, because that was written the last of the four. But regardless of what was in the mind of the writers at that time, we who have the benefit of seeing all of it together have the opportunity to let them speak in conversation with one another, which is what we do here. So that being said, whether or not we choose to reenact the foot washing in liturgy, John's account of foot washing is what makes the whole story of the Last Supper complete and whole. The foot washing is not a sacrament in the same way the Eucharist is. The water is not blessed, the towels are not fair linen. But it is symbolic of what Eucharist must mean for us if it is to be the radical act of memory and identity that Jesus intended on that poignant night in Jerusalem before his final confrontation with the brutality of empire. Jesus had one last chance on that night to impress upon his friends what he'd been trying to teach them for 3 years. So on this night, he showed them, through symbol and sacrament, that the dream of God is about compassion, justice, healing, and forgiveness. And the realization of that dream will require love, service, love, suffering, and more love. This is not the way of empire. It flies in the face of earthly power, and that's the point. In a radical act of memory, it sets the followers of Jesus apart in a new identity, in opposition to the principalities and the powers of this world. It is all about turning the world right side up by turning it upside down. Eat, drink, serve. Don't just think about it. Don't just argue about it. Don't even just envision it. Do this. Do this, trusting that the God who created and liberated us will continue to do so, liberating us even from the power of death until the dream of God is fulfilled. Amen.